This edition of the Ridley Report is brought to you by ShireSociety.com.
Welcome, fellow Jitzer. Audio recording is already in progress. I guess since I'm talking, I'll go ahead and start really talking and providing some news about what's been going on in New Hampshire independence this week. This is November 11th. Are you able to hear me okay? November 11th, 2021, the regularly scheduled weekly meeting of New Hampshire independence activists. And it seems like this time we've kind of got some random folks popping in. It may just be Jitsi people who are checking Jitsi out. I'm not sure. But they're welcome too. It's a public meeting. And let's see what's been going on here. There's a meeting 5 days ago, so it hasn't been that much since that meeting. And I will try to only report things that have happened since that meeting, or that I'm only reporting that have not been reported previously. So there's an executive summary thread on forum.shiresociety.com where we try to track, I try to make sure the main developments in the New Hampshire independence drive have been posted. And feel free to interrupt me any time, by the way. The latest update was I posted it on November 12th. It reads, quote, update 11/12/2021. NHExit.com now has a list of about a dozen social media where you can mass communicate with exiters via Telegram, Matrix, Twitter, etc. Unquote. By that, I probably should have made clear I was talking about, should have said NHExiters instead of just exiters. And then the update continues, quote, suggested protocol published for reacting to additional arrests. And then that links to a another post on ShireSociety.com called Amplifying NH Independence from Jail. So we have to anticipate the possibility that we could get into the situation that Catalonia is in, where, some of its leaders fled the state. They fled Catalonia. Others stayed and faced arrest. People who organized the independence referendum were treated as pariahs by the central government in Madrid, even though they seem to have majority support from people in Catalonia. And in some ways, it feels like that here, although we haven't faced the mass arrests yet. It feels like we already have, some indications of majority support, partly in the fact that union leader poll showed 71% support for a vote on whether we should remain in the union. But you don't have the kind of support that they have in Catalonia. It takes the form, it seems to be very heavy on the streets. And maybe also in the polls. Here we're just so early and, no vote has taken place yet. There's not a lot, going on directly related to NH independence on the streets. And that poll was unscientific, so it could just be wildly exaggerated. There was another union leader poll in 2016, which addressed the question of New Hampshire independence and showed 40% support for New Hampshire independence outright. But again, this newer poll has a different wording. It's not asking people whether they support New Hampshire declaring independence. It's just asking whether they support the New Hampshire Independence Amendment being on the ballot in at the end of 2022. So there's that. And then there is, let's see. Okay, so I'm trying to keep up with the New Hampshire, I guess the NH Exit Telegram chat. And it has a little bit of news. I guess President Biden will be in New Hampshire in a couple of days. Not sure exactly when. And looks like some of the exiters are planning a small gathering and or sine wave at the Biden appearance or outside it. You know, it's interesting. I remember back in 2012 or 2013 going to an Obama event in Manchester and thinking, you know, I wonder if what we're experiencing now, because I'm only, you know, I don't know, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 feet away from Obama, and I'm able to kind of walk the streets somewhat freely. There's a cordon around the park in the middle of Manchester, and I couldn't get into the park without going through security. But I was pretty, you know, felt pretty, you know, free and open the rest of the city and the rest of downtown. And I remember wondering, is this going to be a thing of the past someday, you know, where we can't even do this, right, where they lock down the whole city, or you can't walk freely at this distance from a president? Are they going to keep increasing the distance, you know? And I don't know. It would have been interesting to be, I don't know where he's going to, oh, he's going to be in Woodstock, I think. I don't own a vehicle, so I don't think I'm going to make it to Woodstock in 2 days. But it would have been interesting to see if how much change there had been and the degree of openness versus fascism near a president. You know, it was a fairly pleasant experience, that 2012 visit by Obama. You know, I just kept walking around the event, right? Just kept going clockwise around the thing. And each time I would make a new circuit, there would be some new crazy thing going on to film, or interesting thing to film, or normal thing to film. You know, but I think the weirdest thing that happened to me, or the most disturbing thing that happened to me, and there were a couple of disturbing things. The first one was that the Secret Service, I think, whoever was doing all these pat downs and wandings and scannings of people as they came in, those people tried to stop me from filming. But they didn't try very hard. There was an incident where a Manchester cop lied to me, basically, either that or he was just making it up as he went along. He told me I was required to answer his questions. You know, again, this was without trying to get into the area, right? There was this, 10 or 12 acre area where they were locking things down so much that you had to, you know, go through security to enter. I was able to ambush interview a Homeland Security, a top ranking, you know, Homeland Security official. And it was just a very productive and useful and enjoyable experience, you know. To the extent that they were interfering with me, it was not unpleasant for me. It was just an opportunity for me, right? But let's see. Hopefully it will be. We'll see if that degree of freedom still exists, or if they've horsed it down more when he comes to Woodstock, this Brandon guy. So there's been since I've been making a habit of trying to invite and welcome opponents of New Hampshire independence. No one's here to represent that faction right now. And I also don't, you know, again, looks like I'm pretty much talking to myself here. So I will tell you some news that has come from the pro DC crowd. And you know, I gotta admit, I'm calling them pro DC because they don't like being called that. let's see here. It's a fair, I wouldn't call him that if it wasn't fair. All right, so let's see. There was some looking up in the New Hampshire Independence Drive media coverage thread. There is, I love letters to the editor for some reason. I find them more interesting than coverage in WorldNet Daily or something. But I thought I would read a letter to the editor by a New Hampshire opponent of independence. in lieu of having one on as a guest. So this is this posted on November 10th, 2021. We're getting a fair number of letters for and against New Hampshire independence. It's starting to, you know, appear in New Hampshire newspapers. And they're really excited about it in Laconia because they've been gunning for there's pro-liberty state reps in Laconia, right? And authoritarians don't like that. So this is their opportunity to invoke against the pro-liberty reps like Mike Sylvia and Ray Howard, who live, I think, in the Laconia area. I think Howard does. I know Sylvia does. But Sylvia is the prime sponsor of the New Hampshire Independence Amendment, which, of course, would put independence on the 2022 ballot if it passes the House. But anyway, so this lady named Ruth Larson writes this letter to the editor, quote, "Constitution binds New Hampshire to the United States." To the Daily Sun, Rep. Raymond Howard has exhibited a disturbing progression over the years from bizarre but harmless proposals, such as his sponsorship of a costly bill to have state legislators paid in silver dollars, to truly alarming fringe behavior. At the end of 2020, he was a co-signer of a manifesto declaring himself and others to no longer be citizens of the state of New Hampshire. Note, however, he did not give up his seat in the state legislature of the state he no longer belonged to. More recently, when Howard's leader, Mike Sylvia, head of the beleaguered Belknap County delegation, sponsored a constitutional amendment seeking to have New Hampshire secede from the U.S., many of us wondered if Ray Howard would join this secessionist movement. As it turns out, Rep. Howard's letter of October 25th makes it clear that he has indeed endorsed the Free State Movement Declaration of Independence. No more Social Security, no Medicare, no federal highways, no U.S. passports, and so on. Unquote. Okay, so first of all, by their grievances shall ye know them, right? Like, she's losing her mind because someone had a bill that would have let state legislators get paid in silver. Which would have done absolutely no harm to anyone, right? The only harm, I guess, other than the fact that it does cost a little bit to hear a bill, right? It costs taxpayers about $2,000 to hear a bill. And that's why this bill, this constitutional amendment that we've proposed, that's why we didn't propose it until now. Because until now, no one had come forward to reimburse taxpayers for that expense. So we're probably the first organization in history that's ever put a bill before the legislature and reimburse taxpayers for the $2,000 expense of hearing the bill, right? Or at least we have people pledged to do that. I think that's probably going to take the form. I guess the most recent plan I heard was Aria DiMezzo's scheme of just walking randomly down Main Street and handing out $20 bills at random to taxpayers. I think that's her plan for reimbursing the taxpayers for this small expense of hearing the bill. But yeah, I mean, she's got a point in the sense that you do want to be cautious about proposing bills because it does cost taxpayers a little bit. And that's why I have not asked for a bill since 2005 because someone pointed that out to me. And I said, okay, no more bills for me because it costs taxpayer dollars until this one, which will be reimbursed. So yeah, okay. So that's her one grievance. And then let's see. I guess she's got a point about him. If he's saying he's not a citizen, he probably should give up his seat, not be a citizen. But the other thing. Okay, so she's talking about his letter. She says his letter of October 25th makes it clear that he has indeed endorsed the Free State Movement Declaration of Independence. Well, it's interesting because as is common in this newspaper, The Sun, I for some reason can never find letters to the editor that I've written to this paper. And I couldn't find Ray Hammond's. Now, maybe I didn't look hard enough for Ray Howard's. I couldn't find his letter to the editor there either. Maybe I didn't look hard enough. But I would have enjoyed reading an October 25th letter from Ray Howard, laying out his reasons for supporting New Hampshire independence. He's one of the state reps that is co-sponsoring the bill. We have 9 sponsors out of a maximum allowed of 10 that it, you know, that who have stepped forward to co-sponsor. I don't know why that's not showing up. And then she calls it the, quote, Free State Movement Declaration of Independence, unquote. Well, this would be, if there's a Declaration of Independence, it would have to actually come from 2/3 of New Hampshire voters. So this would go, if it gets through committee, which is the really dangerous part, probably, politically, if it gets through committee intact and goes through the process of being heard by the entire House and Senate and passes both houses by 60%, then it would require another 66% vote in favor by New Hampshire residents. So it wouldn't be a Free State Movement Declaration of Independence. It would be, if passed, a statewide Declaration of Independence. And we're submitting it, expecting that it won't pass, you know, having factored that in long since, knowing that even if it doesn't pass, especially if it doesn't pass, it will move the Overton window. It will make independence a more mainstream issue. It will get people talking. It will get people starting to think about how this would actually work, so that when it eventually does pass, you know, maybe 20 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, maybe 50 years from now, when something like this happens and New Hampshire becomes independent, there will be a lot more people who have a lot more ideas to how to make it work. And what the pitfalls are going to be. So that's how I envision this. Maybe other people think it could pass next year, but I think it's probably, I don't think things will deteriorate sufficiently for us to get that far. Because 66% is just a massive number of people. But the other effect that we hope that it will have is simply to, you know, help encourage the federal government to behave in a more benign manner. As if you think about it, the central government of Canada behaves probably in a more benign manner towards the government of Quebec and hopefully the people of Quebec because of the fact that they're always so close to independence, right? I mean, they came, what, 1% away from, 1 percentage point away from voting in favor of it in 1995. Same thing in Scotland, you know, they came very close to voting in favor of independence. And I just do not, I do not think the London government is going to run roughshod over the Scottish government for that reason, because they don't want to push it into independence. And we don't have a defense mechanism like that in the United States. The states are so far from independence in most cases that this, that the federal government feels like it can run roughshod over the states to some extent and not worry at all about them withdrawing. We will have a much better situation if the federal government feels more cautious, because it's just simply an institution that is too powerful in its relations with Americans. Now, let's see. So those are the thoughts that her editorial creates in me. But there was a rebutting editorial that's already been posted by, or a letter to the editor. By Chris Wade, New Hampshire independence activist. It'll be his second letter to the editor on the subject. He says, quote, "There exists a vocal minority, some of which are in power in the state, who are against the ideals and freedoms all free people stand for." Oh, I'm sorry. I'm out of order here. He has a title to this letter to the editor, which I think is a letter to the editor. He says, quote, "New Hampshire copying United States independence from England," unquote. Then he goes on to say that, quote, "There exists a vocal minority, some of which are in power in the state, who are against the ideals and freedoms of all that all free people stand for. These loyalists, you might say, are trying to deceive you. They benefit from the status quo. They are telling us we can't declare independence because it's illegal. They quote history selectively, saying the courts have ruled, even though technically misleading, as those same courts merely ruled certain means to independence were illegal. they try to turn it into some sort of fanciful racist issue, despite there being nothing racist about independence. This isn't the Civil War, it's independence from the king. The United States itself is illegal under this failed logic and can't exist. Britain didn't authorize the colonies to declare independence, after all. No, the colonies declared independence without the permission of the tyrants and king. In any independence movement, there will always be loyalists to the tyrants in power. It is our duty, it is our obligation as free people to stay true to our beliefs and fight those who are selling out the people of New Hampshire for a little bit of personal gain. New Hampshire independence has nothing to do with the Civil War. It closely resembles the Declaration of Independence from Britain, an empire that at the time nobody thought you could stand up to or exit from. Yet we did. The British Empire has returned, and it's time for New Hampshire to once again lead the way in declaring independence from the new empire, just as we led the way in declaring independence from the old empire. Unquote. So I guess I should respond to Chris's editorial too. That's probably not the way I'd word things or the focus that I would take. I don't really like the idea of this playing out the way the Revolutionary War played out. I think the colonists were kind of questionable in their behavior toward loyalists. And, they gave us really a government that wasn't much better than the king's government. Which turned, in rapid succession into its own empire, right? Which committed its own terrible abuses. So I don't know. I don't think either of these independence drives are a very good model. I think a good model is probably the Estonian independence drive of the 1987 era, or the Scottish and Quebec approaches the way that they were. The means used to obtain their flawed ends were pretty acceptable. You know, it was just a vote, basically. I think that's the model. In Estonia, what happened was more like, I think there were votes that happened on this, but what was really interesting in Estonia was that it was, I think it was pretty closely coordinated with Russian nationalists, and so that the Russian, the Moscow government endorsed Estonian independence. And that's pretty cool, too. Those would be, I think better models than the... in the 1776 stuff. And, it's interesting too, and the way he words this, and he points out this is a rapidly written, quickie editorial, or letter to the editor, but when you deny something, if all you're doing is denying something, then that's usually a very weak position to be putting yourself in. And so he's kind of, denying that this is 1860, or that we're pursuing that same direction. Well, yeah, of course we're not pursuing that direction. It almost doesn't even need to be denied. So let's see. Those are some thoughts on some of the latest news and complaints about us. If this Ruth lady wishes to engage us, she's always welcome to come by here and have this debate, she will be given the floor for as long as I can hold it open for her, or 10 minutes, whichever is longer, so that she can speak freely. But that's the thing. If you have this debate in person to person, independence has a way of winning by itself almost. You really don't even need to be a good debater to make the point that we shouldn't be ruled by Washington. Or to point out the terrible things Washington has done. If you want to get a person in here telling us all the terrible things New Hampshire has done, they could do that, and they could tell you some things. They'd be pretty minor complaints compared to, turning Colorado rivers orange, running a torture chamber at Bagram Air Force Base, arresting people for modifying their own firearms. Those things are a lot more questionable than what New Hampshire does, and the Federals have done them all. All right. Well, it looks like I am not going to be joined by anyone else today, which is fine. And I will see you guys, or some of you, possibly, next week. Every Sunday, 1 p.m. here on Jitsi. If you want to find the exact link, just go to forum.shiresociety.com and poke around. You'll find it. But the link is also known as meet.jit.si/NH Independence Town Hall Meeting, audio taped. As you were.
Two 2,000 Liberty lovers have moved to New Hampshire for the Free State Project. But there's a saying, my saying, actually, united we stand, divided we rise. If you think the Free State Project is too centralized or restrictive, join the Shire Society instead. They're also recruiting people to move to New Hampshire, but they're decentralized and have no board of directors. ShireSociety.com